Emma, you're no stranger to audiobook reading. You've done quite a lot. Was Full Tilt something different for you? A different style of book in any way?
Yes, absolutely. Because Full Tilt is a story told by the narrator, and there's hardly any direct speech and sort of drama in it. Whereas most books that we read have lots and lots of drama in it and different things happening in the plot and so on. So you have a lot of different characters talking. Whereas this book was pretty much all description. What's different about that, therefore, is you're constantly lifting the description off the page for the benefit of the listener.
Having said that it's not a drama, it's not a drama in the sense of people acting out the story. It does have quite a lot of drama in it, doesn't it, actually? I mean, thinking of, say, one bit that stands out for me is the bit where she slides down a glacier. Extraordinary description to find these donkeys at the bottom and some men sort of herding them. I mean, that's quite an amazing bit, isn't it? There are lots of elements like that, aren't there?
Yeah.
I mean, what bit stands out for you?
I think the thing that stands out for me is just the extremes of heat and cold that she ploughed through, really, and kept going. And I mean, it is just so taxing on the system. And she did it again and again and again. So being sort of waist high in snow, waist high in a river, and then freezing afterwards, being so hot that she actually stopped sweating. So she was experiencing heat stroke.
Yeah.
I found those just incredible, those scenes that she would go through that again and again and again. She's quite a remarkable lady with a strong constitution. So that's one element, the drama presented by the environment. And the other is just the amount of wonderful people and great kindness and hospitality she came across, no matter which country she was in. That's really lovely, I have to say.
Some peoples she seems to like very much.
Mm-hmm.
She loved the Afghans, isn't she? Other peoples she didn't seem to like very much. And the thing about D'Urvilla Murphy is she seems unafraid to say any of these things. She's very forthright, doesn't she?
Absolutely. Very forthright. But I think that must be inevitable with somebody who has the spirit to get on a bicycle and cycle to the worst winter known in that century from Ireland to India. There's something very unique that goes with that kind of spirit, isn't there? And then there are times when she says herself that she had to sort of zip it, which was a great amount of work for her, but she knew it was the right thing to do given the hosts she was staying with, or, you know, it just would have been too much on her part to have said more.
And she's very blasé about some events, isn't she? I mean, she wakes up at one point to have a man standing over her in a bedroom, and she describes him. What did she describe him as?
As my ardent admirer.
Admirer in the middle of the night, half naked man.
Yeah, well, she's just no nonsense. And as she said, at the times when she was frightened, self-preservation took over and that informed her actions. But she's also somebody who doesn't make a big fuss of things. So that was her way, I suppose, of packaging it very nicely, lightly. You know, my ardent admirer didn't really try enough, you know, and somebody else might have tried a bit long and they would have overcome me.
Yes.
So she makes light of these things. But again, this is the person that wades through snow and rivers and heat.
Yes, because she almost seems to be criticising him for not being sort of rapacious enough, isn't it? It's just bizarre.
Being man enough. I think it might be that self-deprecating humour. I won that one, but I'm going to put myself down a little bit just by criticising his weakness.
Obviously, you're Irish. D'Urvilla Murphy is Irish. Do you recognise any sort of Irishness in the way that she is as a person that comes out of this book?
Yes, her view of colonial occupation of a country and what it takes, irrespective of how much good it brings. She's very independent minded, definitely an Irish trait and also an Islander trait. And she's very erudite, well read. Very good company, clearly, and just no nonsense. Just no nonsense, lady. Just get on with it.
She's very, very unafraid to speak her mind, isn't
That's
she?
That's right.
Politically, and in every way, really.
Yeah, very unafraid to speak her mind. Yes, exactly.
She did the journey in the early 60s, in 1963, and she went east, which is what a lot of the hippies started doing, say, 2, 3, 4, 5 years later. Do you think that she maybe was some sort of icon for that hippie movement, going to the East, exploring themselves?
I don't know. It's because of my own vintage, I can't speak that knowledgeably about it. But what it does seem to me, just in retrospect, that Dervla Murphy's trip was taken in a very sort of independent spirit that could have been taken by her in any decade in which she was that age of 31. And actually, it seems to me to have very little to do what subsequently became very much the norm, which was going off to the East. I don't think a lot of what the hippies were looking for included the kind of hardship and perseverance that Dervla Murphy displayed from day one of her trip, deciding after a week's delay that she might as well just get on with the trip, whereas in retrospect, getting on with it during the worst winter in 80 years might not have been the most practical thing, actually. So I think she's just a woman of her own time, her very own time. And had she been born in the 1850s, I think she would have done something similar, it seems to me.
Yeah.
I've also spoken to her. I had the honour of being able to talk to her before I did this book. And she would say that many of the trips she's subsequently done are harder in certain ways than that particular trip. And in a way, she feels this first trip gets undue attention. But it's because it was the maiden voyage and nobody had done anything like it before. And it was also undertaken with such dedication and perseverance and simplicity of style. And
yeah.
She's very true to herself and consistent and really an impressive spirit, really.
Would you like to meet her?
I would love to meet Dervla Murphy, yes. I'd love to meet her. And I may have that opportunity.
Oh, very good.
In Ireland, perhaps to have a pint together, she said.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes, if I can get myself to Lismore, County Waterford.
Oh, how amazing. I'd like to join you if I could.
Yeah, I think we've earned it. I think we've earned it. We've nearly gone on this journey with her, so.
Oh, would it be a pint of the black stuff?
It would be a pint of the black stuff, absolutely.
With a little clover leaf in the foam at the top.
That's it.
Emma Lowe, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Neil.